Thank you, Jerry. Joe, we will see you here tomorrow as the Blue Jays begin meaningful baseball in September. It's what people have been waiting for in this city for the last two decades. They had a little bit last year, went into September, three games out of the second wild card, I believe, within shouting distance after a horrible August. But this time, well, this time it's a lot different. The St. Louis Bar and Grill out-of-town scoreboard says that the Boston Red Sox lead the New York Yankees 4-2 in the top of the eighth inning with one out and nobody on. Junichi Tozawa on the mound for the Red Sox. We will keep you posted as to the result of that game. If the Red Sox hold on to win, then the Blue Jays will maintain their game-and-a-half lead over the New York Yankees in the AL East despite this 4-2 loss to the Cleveland Indians tonight. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. Well, let's get right to the calls. Mel is in Toronto. Hey, Mel.
63 years of watching baseball, and I'm still ruining my manicures. You were right, though. They're not going to win every single game, but boy, was this exciting. And I think you're 100% correct. Salazar was just wonderful.
Yeah, he was. He's really good.
But you look at the good parts. Look at the way we finished the month. Donaldson and Encarnacion with 35 RBIs, first time since 1950. I mean, the team is great. But the excitement with Donaldson up, you'd think he's going to do it. But welcome to the human race.
It's the way it works, right? Baseball is a game of failure. And as much as I don't think you could have written a better script than to have Josh Donaldson up there with two on and two out in the bottom of the ninth,
absolutely,
more often than not, it's not going to happen, unfortunately, and it didn't tonight.
Mike, I had one question for you, and I don't know where you stand on this because we tend to agree a lot more now than we did before.
Well, that's because you've come around, which is great.
We could go through September and not have to talk about Mark Shapiro.
I don't think too many people will be talking about Mark Shapiro in September.
Why does that upset you so much? I just thought that the announcement today was an announcement that was an unnecessary diversion and premature. I mean, we don't have to think about that. We have to think about this team and winning the division and going on. And never mind about that. I mean, I've watched the Jays since you have, since 77. And the last thing I ever think about is what Paul Beeston has done for us lately. I care about the guys on the field.
Yeah, and I don't understand, again, why you're wasting your energy being upset about this announcement. I think that it's very clear that Paul Beeston is retiring, very clear that the Blue Jays are looking for a replacement. They want people want to know what's going on. They want stability. And I think with Cleveland in town these 3 days, it would have been a nonstop Shapiro show with questions and denials and non-denial denials and all of this stuff. So why not just get it out of the way? It's certainly, if it's a distraction for the fans, then it's a distraction for the fans. I guarantee you the players do not care about this one bit. They'll meet Shapiro after the season, and by all indications, they'll be very, very fond of him. Everybody seems to love him. So that's a great thing, but there's not one person in uniform for the Blue Jays who was thinking about Mark Shapiro at all.
And I promise, as I call him in September, I shan't talk about him once.
Well,
thanks for taking my call, Mike.
All right. I can't imagine too many other people will be calling in about Mark Shapiro over the course of the rest of this season. We'll have a lot of time to talk about Mark Shapiro, who the Blue Jays named the replacement for Paul Beeston earlier this morning. We'll continue to take your calls. Blue Jays lose 4-2 to the Cleveland Indians. And the skipper, John Gibbons, spoke about the loss.
John, what was Salazar doing to be so effective against your lineup?
Well, he's one of the best in baseball. I mean, that's no secret. Actually, you know, they're pitching, Cleveland's pitching top to bottom is as good as any probably in baseball. Well, he's got a good, quick, overpowering arm. He actually kept the ball down more than we've seen him in the past. We haven't seen him a lot. And he's got a dynamite slider, you know, and he's pretty damn good.
Gibby, given how Josh delivered earlier in the game, that's a pretty good situation to be in the ninth inning with him at the plate and two on, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, if there's a, when you look at this year, if there's a guy you want up there, it's got to be him. But I think, you know, I think he spoiled everybody around here because he's come through so many times. And I mean, it was a battle. You know, we kept the pressure on the last couple innings. You know, we had the bases loaded in the eighth, and then two guys on in the ninth. And yeah, I mean, it was we made a run at it. We just couldn't get that big hit. But good pitching played a big part in that.
What'd you think of Price tonight?
Shoot, I thought he was great. You know, I mean, he was, you know, against the lineup, he's seen a lot of those guys since he's in Detroit. And yeah, but you know, he threw the ball great. You know, the walk and then the triple. You know, ended up, you know, was what hurt us. You know, and then Sand snuck one through, you know, and found the hole there to, you know, put them up like that. But overall, you know, I mean, he threw the ball great. You know? They thought he threw a few more breaking balls tonight that we don't normally see, which is a good thing, I think. And yeah, but he was great.
I'm guessing you would take a September that would mirror your August.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We'd love that. Is that what you're expecting, Johnny? Yeah? You guys are spoiled, man.
The Prime Minister was in attendance today. Sorry, man, I have one more question for you.
Yeah,
by the way.
Yeah.
The Prime Minister was there. What was that like, and what did you guys chat about before the game?
Yeah, I see him on TV and all that. I know there's an election coming up. Seemed like a great guy, you know. I told him I love his politics. We're both probably outnumbered in town here, but I love his politics.
We're not going to talk politics here on Jay's Talk. Stephen Harper, the Prime Minister, was here today. He was shoulder to shoulder with me down on the field during batting practice. He signed autographs for a bunch of kids down there. And if you follow me on Twitter, you saw the picture that I took of the extreme close-up of Stephen Harper, because he was quite literally 4 inches away from me. And he enjoyed the game, I hope, and I hope stayed for the whole thing, but I have no idea. Don't know if he went on with Buck and Tabby or not, but regardless, it's we've now had two of the three main political leaders here at Blue Jays games over the course of the past month. The only one who's missing so far is Justin Trudeau. I think the Jays won the game where Thomas Mulcair was here, but he left in the fifth inning. Again, I don't know when Harper left tonight. But the Blue Jays lose with the sitting Prime Minister in attendance. 4-2 the final score. The Cleveland Indians on top. They are going to the bottom of the eighth inning at Fenway Park with the Red Sox leading the New York Yankees by a score of 4-2. We can tell you that because we're looking at our St. Louis Bar and Grill out-of-town scoreboard. More of your calls coming up. And we'll also have Scott Crawford, who is the Grand Poobah of the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame in St. Mary's, Ontario. They had an exhibit here yesterday. Want to talk to him about that and just about what's going on here. The Blue Jays finish August 21-6. The .778 winning percentage is the highest for any month in club history. Edwin Encarnacion goes 2-for-4 today with a single and a double. He has an extra base hit in 9 straight games. He has a 26-game hit streak. And he has a slugging percentage of .919 for the month of August. Slugging percentage, not OPS, slugging percentage. Total bases over at-bats, .919 for the month of August. That is a Blue Jays record for any single month by 128 points. Jose Bautista had the old one, .791 in May of 2011. It's the Honda Postgame Show. The Honda Postgame Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Peek over his shoulder at the runner at third. That's Rayburn. The stretch. And the 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out.
Back here at Rogers Center, Blue Jays lose it 4-2 to the Cleveland Indians. 21-6 in the month of August. What an incredible month of August. 21-6, the highest winning percentage for any month in Blue Jays history at .778. Edwin Encarnacion goes 2-for-4 with a double. He has an extra base hit in 9 straight games. He has a 26-game hit streak, and he has a club record with his .919 slugging percentage for the month. He was named American League Player of the Week today. He'll be named American League Player of the Month in a couple of days. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Jay's Talk. Taking your calls at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Let's go to Andrew in Burlington. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
What an incredible month, like you said, 21-6. And tomorrow the Blue Jays are going to wake up, and they're going to be first place in the AL East, and like we've heard it leading up to this, first time in 20-plus years since that's happened. So it's incredible. It's funny. I just decided to look back at the standings for the last 20-plus years, and I think at this time in the year, come September 1st, in the past 20-plus years, they've averaged 16 games back of the AL East division, and even the last couple of years, right? Last year was 10 out of the AL East, and the year before, 18.5. So, my goodness, it's you've said it all year. Enjoy the ride, and I think we definitely are. There's been so many great moments this year, and I can't wait to see what September brings.
Yeah, it's a heck of a ride, and one hopes it's going to be a heck of a September. I mean, even if, even in the losses, they're exciting. The crowds are great. It's loud. It's seedier. It's edgier seat action here pretty much every time the Blue Jays take the field.
Yeah, you said it. Like, even the loss, the Tulo 12-pitch loss against the Yankees a couple Fridays ago, that was an exciting finish. But even reflecting back on where we are in the season, there's just been so many fun moments. Like, Pilar's two homers off Scherzer, right? I felt like that kick-started it. All of Pilar's superhero defense. The walk-off, the Colabella walk-off against Houston, that seems like eons ago, but there's just so many great memories. The 2 11-game win streaks, sweeping the Yankees. I just can't believe all these exceptional moments, and there's still 30-plus games to go. And it's generational, Mike. I've been a Jays fan my whole life, and it just feels like, man, they did this when I was in high school, and I'm so happy to be sharing these moments with my kids now. It's been a lot of fun.
It has, Andrew. Thanks so much for the call. And you're right, it's generational. It is. And it isn't for every team, because there are teams that do make the playoffs more than once a generation, and one hopes that the Blue Jays are going to be one of those teams from now on. But, yeah, all those special moments that you ran through, and there have been way more than just that, and the best is yet to come. It really is, as we begin the month of September tomorrow night. The season goes through till October 4th, 31 games left after today, and the Blue Jays have 74 wins. Keeping our eye on that Yankee game, former Blue Jay spring training invite, Gene Machi is in to try to close it out for the Boston Red Sox. Koji Uehara out for the year with a broken wrist, and he's given up a leadoff single to Stephen Drew in the ninth inning. The Red Sox lead the Yankees by a score of 4-2. If Machi can hold on to it, then the Blue Jays will maintain their game-and-a-half lead in the AL East. Barry is in Hamilton. Hey, Barry.
Good evening, Mike. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
As the tickets become more scarce, it gets more and more difficult to get on this show.
I feel
privileged. We talked last on trade deadline night, and you had some prognostications, which turned out to be very close to true. I also wanted to thank you for a few weeks ago, there were some questionable calls about people getting thrown at and calls that you could or could not challenge. You clarified that perfectly.
Well, that's what I'm here for. Thank you.
Tonight's game, I know, Josh, it's a third baseman's ball. If he makes that play, he thinks he can get it.
Yep.
I think for a second he hesitated. I think he maybe was Tulo calling him off. Tulo couldn't have made that play. Do you think if Josh had not tipped that ball in the left field?
I think Tulo had a chance. I did not see him hesitate. You're talking about the ground ball that Lonnie Chisenhall hit with two out in the ninth inning, and you're right. The third baseman, anything to his left that he can get, he should get.
He just
couldn't get there. Yeah, absolutely, and it just tipped off his glove. That's all.
Yeah.
It happens.
If you watch the replay closely for a sec, you can almost see his eyes glance to the left. I don't think if he let it go to two, just for a second.
I'm not watching the replay, so I can't comment.
And I got the luxury of having a look at it, but that was a tough play. He should have ate it once he got in the left field. But anyhow, a couple questions I just wanted to ask. There's a knuckleball around the mound. There are three people around the dish. Who is it most difficult on, the catcher, the hitter, or the umpire, when there's a knuckleballer out there?
You can make a really good case for any of them. I'm going to say probably the hitter.
I think so, too. I've seen Dickey, when that knuckleball's floating, cross up a few umpires.
Yep,
so
all the
I
time.
Can only, I think a great call by management to give the rest to the catcher and bring the knuckleball catcher back up. I don't think we lose much at catcher. If any one of the three are in there, Tolle, Navarro, or Martin, I don't think we really lose that much anyway. So rest his leg, get him healthy.
He seems to be pretty healthy right now. Appreciate the call. Thanks. I got a lot of people that I want to get to. The Blue Jays are appreciably better behind the plate with Russ Martin than anyone else. I think that to say that you don't lose much no matter which of the three catchers. I can't give you that one. With R.A. Dickey on the mound, you don't lose much between Martin and Tolle. If anything, Tolle may be a better option just for, to save the wear and tear on Russ Martin. But when there's a traditional pitcher on the mound, absolutely, it's very, very, very clear that Russ Martin is the best option for the Blue Jays behind the plate. Yankees have two on and nobody out right now in the top of the ninth inning. And scoreboard watching's fun. They can close to within a half game of the Blue Jays if they can come back and beat the Boston Red Sox tonight. They trail 4-2 as they play in the top of the ninth inning. And we continue our Jays talk with Renee in Edmonton. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. So I just want to say I'm very, very new to baseball. I'm what you call Johnny come lately to the table.
All right. Well, welcome aboard. Thanks for joining us.
So here's my question, which I don't understand. If Osuna is your best pitcher and he's what you consider the closer,
right,
why would he not have been put on at the top of the ninth to ensure that there would be no more runs?
Because you can't use him every night. You have to, these guys can't pitch that often. And you have to save them for the opportunities when it's available to hold a lead, to close down a game. I mean, there's a whole philosophy about leverage situations, and the higher the leverage, the more important the higher win probability added. I don't want to throw that at you, but I mean, the bigger the spot in the game, the more you want your best pitcher, whether it's in the ninth inning or not. But when you're trailing going into the ninth inning, you just can't, because you can't use them every night, and you have very reliable relief pitchers. The Blue Jays have a terrific bullpen. And look, LaTroy Hawkins got the first two quick outs, and he got a ground ball with a runner on first and two outs. He should have been out of that inning, and a little bad luck, and then it was compounded, allowed another run to score. But you need Roberto Osuna for when you're protecting a lead late. You can't use him when you're down by a run late in games unless he hasn't pitched in a while.
Okay, so I can't remember if he pitched last night.
He did not pitch yesterday, nor did he pitch Saturday. But you might need him. But you might need him tomorrow, and you might need him Wednesday. And you want you want him at full strength to be able to protect those leads when he has to.
Okay, but here's my thing, Mike. If you've got someone like Price, who I think has up to this point has done a phenomenal job.
Yep.
And, he's pitched over, 100 pitches?
Yeah.
And, you know that your defense tonight is not tight.
Why not?
Your first, they've made some errors tonight. Your first defense is the pitcher. So to me, it's illogical to not pull the one guy that you're paying the big bucks, who you know can shut it down, and keep that lead that the opposition has to one run. So you take the pressure off of your batters who are coming up to be able to at least get a bases loaded, or you know, to get a person on base to tie it up, and then to eventually take the lead. To me, that's I guess I just don't understand how you could keep saving this guy, because you might need him tomorrow. Tomorrow may come and they may win by 15 runs.
They might. You're right. They might win by 15 runs. They might lose by 15 runs. It's true. But you're dealing with a 20-year-old in his first year in the major leagues. You're dealing with a guy who's coming off a surgery 2 years ago. But regardless, you can't – I mean, the especially early in the season, the temptation to use Roberto Osuna for every relief out was huge. And you just can't. You can't run these guys into the ground. You got to pick your spots. You have to have confidence in the relievers that you have, and there's no reason for the Blue Jays not to have confidence in the relievers that they've had. They have. Since the changes, they have the best bullpen in the major leagues. And, again, no reason. No
right.
reason
and you know what,
not
and,
to
and,
use.
And, of course, and that's what a lot of people are saying, that this is one of the best teams that they've put together since, what, 1992 and 1993, when we won this
yes.
series back then.
That is correct.
I sort of kind of remember watching it, but I was mostly in the bars watching it, so
all right.
I didn't really watch it that much. But this time I'm actually really paying attention, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. But it was illogical to me that they didn't use Osuna tonight, because being 1.5 games up over the Red Sox is not enough of a buffer.
Yes, but there are 32 games left. Sometimes you have to lose a battle to win a war. But again, and I appreciate the call, Renee, we're just getting into the circular stuff and saying the same things over and over again. You cannot use your closer every night. You just can't. You got to have faith in the rest of your bullpen. And again, no reason not to have faith in the relief crew that the Blue Jays have put together. Update from Boston, one out now in the top of the ninth inning, but Gene Machi has thrown a wild pitch, so the tying run is at second. The Yankees have runners at second and third with one out and a 1-2 count on Brian McCann. The Red Sox lead the Yankees by a score of 4-2, but it's very definitely white-knuckle time at Fenway Park right now. John is in Burlington. Hey, John.
Hey, Mike. Ben, Nathan, I'm a big fan. Thanks for taking the call. I appreciate it.
All right.
So tough loss. We were there. I'm not second guessing the coaching, but you know, on this show, we got a chance to at least talk about interesting things that happen in the game. And one of the things that I'm thinking about is taking Colabello out for smoke. I understand why he'd do it. Better defense, but obviously we ended up needing offense. Smoke gets a big strikeout, poor guy. I wish he would have done better. Do you think, on balance, Mike, that Smoke's defense is that much better than Colabello's, that was the right call?
Yep. Without hesitation.
Know.
You're winning a game by one run. Colabello just hit. He's probably not going to hit again if you maintain the lead. Justin Smoke is a much, much, much better defender. And, yeah. Absolutely. That's a move I make 100 times out of 100.
Really? You're that certain about it, huh?
Yep. No reason not to.
Okay. What's the history on his defense then? Because I didn't appreciate, I guess, that Smoke's defense was that much better than Colabello's.
It is that much better than Colabello's.
Huh. All right. Thanks.
All right. No problem. And for those of you who believe in the sample size argument, it is a small sample size, just 55 at-bats. 62 plate appearances, but this year, going into that bases loaded at bat for Justin Smoke in the bottom of the eighth inning, he was hitting .345 with runners in scoring position with an 1185 OPS. So Justin Smoke has gotten the job done in big spots. He's gotten the job done with runners on, but more to the point, he was brought in a one-run game with the Blue Jays winning. That's when you go to your defense. You go to your defense when you're winning late and it's a close game and you need the D. And that's what happened. And it didn't work because they wound up giving the lead back. And the two-out rally in the bottom of the eighth inning brought Smoke to the plate. He struck out on a 3-2 pitch, a terrific at-bat against Cody Allen, but didn't get the job done. Bill's in Mississauga. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Mike. Good evening. Two quick questions. First, say we go 500 in September at 15-15 or 15-16. Do we have a shot of the division or the wild card? And the second question is, when we do make the playoffs, when Dickey pitches, is Toley going to be, I guess that's his catcher, or will Russell Martin ever catch him?
I think Russell Martin's going to catch every game that the Blue Jays play in the playoffs, regardless of who's on the mound.
Right.
If the Blue Jays go 15-16 the rest of the way, they will have 89 wins, and that should be more than enough to make the playoffs.
Yeah, 89-70, or give or take, yeah. Okay.
89-73, yeah.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Mike.
All right, there you go. Blue Jays lose it 4-2 to the Cleveland Indians. The Yankees are losing 4-2 to the Boston Red Sox, but the Yankees have the bases loaded and one out, and Chase Headley coming to the plate. So we'll keep an eye on that one. Right now, the Blue Jays have a one-game lead on the New York Yankees for first place in the American League East. If the Yankees win, it'll go down to half a game. If the Yankees lose, it'll go back up to a game and a half. The Blue Jays finished the month of August with a record of 21-6, the best month that they've ever had in the history of the franchise. This is Jays Talk, and yesterday was Canada Baseball Day here at the ballpark, and the Blue Jays wore their Canada Day uniforms and the red hats, and the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame in St. Mary's, Ontario brought down a bunch of cool artifacts and stuff and had an exhibit on the 200 level at the back of the WestJet flight deck. Scott Crawford is the Grand Poobah of the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame, and he was there along with a couple of members of the board of directors, John Starzynski and David Morneau, and they gave awards to Richard Griffin and Bob Elliott before the game. Bob Elliott inducted into the Hall of Fame, and Rich Griffin winning the Jack Graney Award, which is sort of the Canadian version of the Ford C. Frick Award in the United States, or the combination of the Frick Award and the Spink Award, and manned the exhibit all day yesterday, and Scott Crawford joins us on the line now from picturesque St. Mary's, Ontario. Scott, thanks a lot for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you tonight?
Doing well, thank you. You were up here in the booth yesterday in the bottom of the third inning, and there was like a six-pitch inning, and you were gone. So I wanted to make sure we had a chance to actually talk a little bit. Tell me about the reaction, the fans you interacted with yesterday. How did the exhibit go over?
It went fantastic. I mean, we did it last year as well out in the 200 level outfield, and the fans just they're amazed by the artifacts and the collection that we have in St. Mary's, just from the you know, the Larry Walker and Fergie Jenkins stuff, but the Babe Ruth. We brought an autographed Babe Ruth baseball with us. We brought the actual Pearson Cup from the old Expo Blue Jay days, and it's a collection that people didn't know still existed, and we told them to come see the most more of it in St. Mary's.
And you brought the Tom Cheek red jacket.
A couple
of people took pictures of that and tweeted it to me.
We did. It's a fantastic jacket, and it's a proud part of our collection from Tom.
Yeah, it was amazing. A whole bunch of amazing, amazing things. And every time we get a chance to talk to you, and any time we get a chance to pump up what's going on in St. Mary's, we're always really, really happy to do it. I mean, Cooperstown is one thing, and St. Mary's is the Canadian, not the Canadian version, but I mean, it's the home of baseball in Canada, a great museum. And I just want to give you an opportunity to kind of plug it a little bit and tell people what they can expect when they go to a visit.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have a 32-acre site, which a lot of people don't know. I mean, we have four baseball fields on it with over 600 events this summer we've had. We had tournaments last year. We have a few universities coming down tomorrow to play some exhibition games before their season gets started. And so not only you got the ball games on the field, but the museum is just packed with all kinds of artifacts from the current guys playing, like the Joeys and Russells, and all the way back to 100-year-old items from Babe Ruth and others.
Which is, it's amazing. Favorite part of the collection, a favorite area in the museum?
I think it's more The inductees items, each year we get a new collection from the inductees, and it tells their story and their history. I mean, they're the best of the best, and it really emphasizes how great Canadian baseball is, and not only Canadians, but Blue Jay Expo history as well.
Yeah, and if anyone is interested in any of that stuff, St. Mary's is the place to be. So tell me a little bit about how the Blue Jays are helping out, what sort of partnership there is between you and the only major league team in Canada.
Well, the Jays have been fantastic. They starting induction weekend, they bring their baseball street festival down. We close the roads in St. Mary's, and we have a huge Blue Jay family street party, which bounce houses, and there's alumni and everything, and that's fantastic. And the newest thing the Jays did this year, the Jays Care Foundation did this year, was we applied for the granting system, and we were able to get a grant for to upgrade our site and our facilities. We're going to be able to put in the irrigation system for the fields, upgrade the field, some electrical work, and it's just great support from the Blue Jays. It's ongoing all the time, and it's well appreciated.
With Scott Crawford, who runs a show at the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame in St. Mary's, Ontario, what does a Blue Jays run like this mean for baseball across this country, both for interest and for participation? When the Blue Jays, I mean, it's been so long, but when the Blue Jays are in the national consciousness like this, how does it affect everything else?
It's amazing. Everyone's talking baseball now. You know, it's a month ago when they were sitting around 500, it was, you know, another tough season, and that sort of ended the conversation. Now it's like, wow, everyone's like, Blue Jays, they won again, these trades, Tulo and everyone else, they, Price and the guys they brought in, they're excited. If you hear it on the streets in St. Mary's, people are excited. We've had more visitors in August than we normally do, which is a direct result of the Blue Jays winning and being on the front page of all the newspapers instead of buried behind some hockey stories. So it's fantastic.
Yeah, it is. It is here as well as there. And here's hoping that you get a lot more visitors than normal in September and in October as well, as we continue to watch baseball, hopefully here at this ballpark all the way through the end of October. Scott, thank you so much for this. Really appreciate the time. Appreciate you joining us, and appreciate, of course, all the terrific work you do at the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame in St. Mary's.
Well, thanks, Mike, having me on, and just keep on making the Jays win for us.
I'm doing my best. I know I get blamed when they don't. I'm doing my absolute best. Blue Jays lose it 4-2 to the Cleveland Indians. That's Scott Crawford, the grand poobah of the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame. And the Blue Jays wind up a game and a half ahead of the New York Yankees because the Boston Red Sox beat the Yankees 4-3. Tonight, amazingly, Gene Machi pitches out of it, loads the bases, walks in a run, and then he strikes out Greg Bird. He gets Didi Gregorius, and that's the ball game. Red Sox beat the Yankees 4-3. So both the Yankees and the Red Sox, both the Yankees and the Blue Jays lose it tonight. And that means status quo in the AL East at the top anyway. The Blue Jays maintain their game-and-a-half lead. The Tampa Bay Rays beat the Baltimore Orioles 6-3. So Tampa Bay picks up a game. They are now 9 back. The Orioles 11 back. And the Red Sox 13 back of first place in the American League East. Blue Jays fall 4-2 to the Cleveland Indians. They finish the month of August 21-6, the highest winning percentage for any month in club history, 778. They won 7 out of 9 all month long, which is something that just does not happen, which is why you got to shake off these losses. And again, Blue Jays losses this year have been really, really hard to shake off because every one of them, it feels like, has been a game they should have won. And this was no exception. They had a 2-1 lead going into the seventh inning. It was a 2-2 tie with two out in the seventh inning. They had the bases loaded in the eighth down a run. They had the tying run on base with Josh Donaldson at the plate in the ninth inning. And that's what this team is about. They are in every game they play, and that's why it's so exciting. Edwin Encarnacion named the Blue Jays or the American League Player of the Week today. He is going to be named American League Player of the Month very shortly. He was 2-for-4 today. He wound up hitting over 400 for the entire month of August, 35 RBIs, a .919 slugging percentage, which is a club record for any month on the calendar. He got a hit in every game he played in the month of August and will carry a 26-game hit streak into tomorrow night's game. He's just two away from the club record held by Sean Green. And, yes, there are 31 games left in the season. And 26 plus 31 is 57. Nah, I don't think that's going to happen. But it is kind of cool while it's still going on. Tomorrow, it'll be Marco Estrada on the hill against Cody Anderson. We are on the air at 7 o'clock Eastern for a 7:07 first pitch. The Blue Jays will try to start off their first meaningful September in decades with a win. We will see you then.